Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. Thank you for joining us whenever or wherever you are listening. You are now rocking with the best. If you haven't done it already, please subscribe, rate, and review. You can also check us out on all social media platforms. Joining me, as always, is my nephews. Double Trouble is in the house. The Get Busy Boys, Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. And before we get it started, boys, I guess this is the way we're going to start it off. We need an update on the EA Sports NHL 21 Challenge. Elijah, break it down. I'm giving it to you, bro, because, you know, you're the best NHL player here.
I'll get it started.
You're the guy.
Yeah, I mean, on an update with Kwame and I series, we played another two games, mm-hmm. and I dominated again in the two games.
Stupid, man. It's stupid so, out here.
I don't know what it is, but I'm up 4-0 on Kwame. And I've kind of won each game in dominating fashion. So I'm hoping I can just continue to roll. And, you know, I don't want to get cocky or whatever and say go 10 straight. But I don't know if Kwame's going to be able to beat me in any one of these.
I think, you know what's interesting? Game four, I changed up a few things. And I was up 1-0, then you tied it. And then you did something with the computer and you glitched the game and we had to start all over again. And then you just blew me out the waters and beat me like 5-0 or something like that.
Yeah. That was weird. Cause like, as you scored, the game glitched and it just, I don't know, but I think that was kind of just a down game for me and you're lucky that it was even close. But in terms of my series with Akil, started to get back on track. I started off down 2-0 mm-hmm. to start the series, and now it's 3-2. So
3-2 for who?
Akil.
That's why I was confused because, like, pretty sure Elijah said like I'm the best or something. He said.
Well, but I mean,
I didn't say that.
No, did you say that? I thought I heard something.
Did say that.
Overall, I do have the best record. I have the best record out of all of us.
You know, for a couple games there. I have time today, so, you know, get after it today. But call me. I think we're 1-1, and I officially decided that when I win the $100 from both of you guys, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy $100 sweaters mm-hmm. for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, they're going to be some designer sweaters. I'm going to take them to the print shop. Uh-huh. I'm going to basically ruin them by printing "I suck at NHL" on them. I'm going to buy a really expensive sweater for $100. I'm going to ruin it and give it to you guys.
Is that the plan?
Well, Kwame, before we continue, even when I was beating up on you in these games, did you ever quit the game?
No. Why would I quit? I never give up.
When I was playing Akil.
Talk to me.
He quit the game because of how bad the score was.
What do you mean?
My Wi-Fi cut out.
Oh, is that
Wi-Fi cut out?
Did the Wi-Fi cut out? Because I can't.
It happened that my Wi-Fi cut out when it was like 7-2. Like, what can I do?
These things happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Was this the last game of the night or is this the
second last game? Because we played one right after. The Wi-Fi was way better after.
Who won that game?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Coincidentally. And interestingly enough, the Wi-Fi was pretty strong then.
Yeah.
Must have got an extra boost.
Just saying. I'm not playing around anymore with Akil. I gave him the first two. And then I showed him the NHL player that I am. And then he caught me in the third game that day. But you're going to see, Kwame. I'm just going to keep rolling from here. And, you know, I don't really think Akil is anything to worry about. Don't think you're anything to worry about.
What you don't know is that I recorded all three games and I've been watching video all week.
You've been watching tape?
I've been watching tape all week. So.
Give me a pointer because, does he clog up the neutral zone when you play? Like,
yeah. All you got to do is when he gets the puck, stay to the inside. He's going to try to toe drag every time, stay to the inside. He's going to try to dipsy doodle, just play super. Like just kind of respect them. and then the game respect you back. And as soon as you get the puck, it doesn't even matter what you do, you're going to score because he's terrible on defense.
You know what's interesting too? You know what he does too to kind of throw you off the game? He eats like a bag of chips. So you're trying to play and all you hear is this crunching in your ear and it just gets, throws you off. And you know another thing he does to you too? I don't know if he does this to you, but you'll be playing, right? And he'll score and he'll make you watch all the replays. He won't even press the, you know what I mean? Like he'll watch, he'll make you watch the replays. Then you'll be like, yo, press, you know, let's go. And they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Before you win the video game, you got to win the mental game. If I'm already in your head before we even start playing.
Then... You were in my, you were messing with me the other night. We're playing. You're watching the replays. You're watching everything. He leaves, comes back. I don't know, man.
I got one thing for you for next game you play him. Make sure you win your draws. If you lose, lock up your center. He's just gonna wait till the center is open. That's all he does. I got him figured out.
Yeah, I like playing ESHL on a team. Let me be my player. Not, I don't like to have to control everybody. I honestly don't like
too much thinking that. For you. Eh?
It's too much. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to lock in a player next game and that's it. We're just going to get busy. I'm going to let the computer guys do their thing. I'm going to do my thing, set it up. Bong, bong. We're going to get busy.
Yeah, I mean, you can try doing that, but you know, when Akil and I did our GM thing or our fantasy mode or whatever it's called, I play against the computer on Superstar, so I kind of know tendencies of the computer.
Yeah. So is that what you know?
Good luck with that approach.
Okay. We'll give you guys some more updates next week and hopefully a little things will change. If nothing changes for me, then I'm just going to coast it out and, you know, just actually beat Akil and just take second to Elijah. I know Akil's not going to be a problem. So speaking of problems, I saw a very disturbing picture and video circulating. The video sees a young man who's playing on the Ontario Reigns. His name is Akil Thomas, and he decided to block a shot using his face. Akil, what is in God's name happened to you? You're looking like you went three rounds with Mike Tyson, bro.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we were just in a game a couple of days ago, and I just go up to the point because my D is getting the puck, and I can kind of just tell, like, he doesn't really look poised. Like, he looks like he's kind of panicked because I'm kind of coming out at him. And I just had bad vibes going towards that puck. I'm like, this guy he doesn't look like he knows what he's going to do with this puck, right? So that usually ends up in maybe getting a block or whatever. So all I remember is him, like, kind of going off his back foot, taking a slap shot, and all I really remember after that is just like thinking like I'm dying, like I'm dead. Like, what the hell just happened? It was, couldn't see anything, couldn't hear anything. Like I was just on the ground. Mm. I saw blood just pouring out on my visor, like pouring. And I was like, holy hell, I just died on the ice. Like trainer ran out, like everyone's kind of like screaming. They thought they thought my head got taken off basically. And I remember the trainer just asking if I was okay. And our trainer's a very like goofy guy. Like he's never serious. So I actually almost started laughing because it was the first time he's ever been serious. So go back to the room and they're expecting, you know, me to have like a broken face or something like that. A broken nose, at least. My nose is like swollen up like pretty bad. There's a cut on my nose, but they're just like, basically like, it looked like a puck on my forehead. Like I had a huge bump on my forehead and they just kind of put some bandages back on me. Ended up coming back out and I literally just died on the ice like two minutes before, and I come out like right away. So the guys are all fired up and they're banging the boards and stuff, and everyone's pretty happy to see me come back and make sure.
Then you get out there, you jump on the ice, you score the game winning goal. Is that how it went down after?
No, I scored the game tying goal and ended up losing in overtime. But it was good to kind of come back and still kind of contribute to the team, so that felt good. Still kind of icing it. I kind of have the raccoon eyes now with the blood kind of dropping down to my eyes, and you know, it was funny just sending pictures to my family after the game, my friends. They're just like, "Yo, Elijah, why are you in LA using Akil's phone?" It was weird, but yeah.
Is it kind of like a badge of honor for you?
For hockey, yeah, it's like that's what hockey's about. Like, coaches eat this up, you know. Like, we ended up losing the game, but like the coach kind of came in the locker room and just said, "Like, good job, Akil," and walked out basically. So for hockey, that's what hockey's about. It's all about like, you know, sacrificing your body and, you know, still coming out. If that kind of happened in soccer, basketball, you know, it's you're not coming back into the game. So that's what hockey's about. That's why I love it. And yeah, I mean, it's been funny kind of looking like a tough guy for a week. Last game, the captain of Bakersfield is like, "Who'd you fight last game?" And like, we're about to take a draw. I'm like, "Oh, like I fought like this guy on San Diego, who's like the toughest guy in the league." I'm like, "Yeah, I fought him." And he looked at me like, "What?" I'm like, "No, I'm just kidding. I took a fuck to the face."
Nice. Elijah, have you had a situation like that happen to you?
Yeah, I dealt with it a little bit last year. First of all, my parents kind of taught me, like, if you get hurt, like, one, if you're trying to draw a penalty, then okay, maybe you can stay down. But like, if you're hurt, unless like your leg is broken, like get up and get to the bench. And then it's also like, if you could play, like play. And I do like give it to Akil a little bit and rip on him sometimes. But the one thing about him is like, there was times when we were in Niagara, like this guy's shoulder was hanging off his arm and like he was still playing. So kudos to that. But yeah, last year I got slashed in the face. Broke my nose right here.
Wow.
Went to the room, got stitches, put a bubble on, just came back and played. And it's kind of like, that's just how I was raised. Like, if you can play, if you can go.
Gosh, was that in Owen Sound?
Yeah, in Owen Sound.
Oh, I remember that.
And
that
then the next day, a letter got sent out to every team in the league about keeping your visor down, so...
Oh, right, because you used to play with your visor up.
Yeah, you know? I if I could, I wouldn't wear a visor. I don't like
Kwame. The video of that guy like slashing Elijah is way worse than mine. Like, it's brutal.
Okay. But, like, when I look down, I've never seen so much blood on the ice, and I just like got up, went right to the room, and it was like the biggest thing. It was a close game, and I was like, I want to be playing, so I was just like, stitch me up and let's go. And I went to the hospital the next day.
Elijah, did the guy who slashed you sleep peaceful that night?
Yeah, he did. But I don't think it was intentional. And you know, in hockey, things happen sometimes. If it was intentional, then no, he wouldn't have been sleeping peaceful. Would have came back out and did something. Don't know what I would have done, but I do think it was accidental. But, yeah, you know me. I'll fight if I need to, or take care of a problem if I need to.
All right. Calm down, everybody. Calm down, tough guys. So, listen, for those who don't know, it's Gender Equality Month. So all hail all the queens out there. Sportsnet.ca just put out a great article that is in our show description called The 25 Most Powerful Women in Hockey. Making the list is some of the friends of the show, like Blake Bolden, Soraya Tinker, and Kim Davis, Senior Executive VP of Social Impact Growth Initiatives and Legislative affairs for the NHL, who has not been on the show yet, but we're planning on having her on, do a 1v1 very soon to share her story. But Also mentioned in the article is Kelsey Kozler and Kiana Scott, along with many other great women. And just want to give these women their flowers while they can smell them. Keep doing your thing, ladies, and keep rocking. And speaking of powerful women, we've got one coming up. Her name is Sonya Bryson Kirksley. She is the anthem singer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll be right back. Our next guest is the very definition of what it's like to hear an angel sing. She sung the national anthem for the Tampa Bay Lightning for 8 seasons, over 1,000 games, and 1 Stanley Cup ring. She is known for her beautiful voice, blue stripes in her hair, which she's not rocking for us today. Also, the blue Lightning blue lipstick, which she's not rocking for us today, and we're going to find out why. But soul brothers and soul sisters, let me introduce to you the lady that has brought soul to the national anthem in the National Hockey League, former U.S. Air Force Technical Sergeant Sonya Bryson Kirksley. Did I say it right?
You're fine. Kirksey. Like Kirksey.
Kirksey. How you doing, Sonya? I'm so glad to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's been great.
Yeah. Okay. So how's the family been through this whole pandemic situation? I have to ask everybody that. How's everybody been keeping?
It's been pretty good here in Tampa. My mom, who's in South Carolina, she did have a COVID pneumonia back in December. She was in the hospital for about 5 days, but she's a beast. She blew through it with nothing, and she's back to normal now. So everything's great.
Okay. Let's just jump right into it. What does singing the Star Spangled Banner mean to you specifically?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's my feeling of what America is to me. I'll say what America is supposed to be to me and those around me. It's not always the most welcoming to everyone. And it's not the same for everyone. But for me personally, I grew up hearing the anthem and thinking, wow, you know, this is something that people in other countries hope to have, maybe come and explore that American dream that we already have because we live here. And as I grew up and listening to the anthem, you know, I dove into it as a youngster. And, you know, I discovered the other verses, as other people, you know, tend to like to tell me about. And I understand that it was written during a time that, you know, we weren't really, as Black people, we weren't really accepted into society.
Before you go on, my young brothers over here, Elijah and Akil, probably do not know what you're talking about. And maybe there are some people listening that don't understand that that version that you sing that we all know of is not really the original. Can you give us a little bit of some history of the Star Spangled Banner?
Well, I don't have the verses right in front of me, but just going off of my memory, the first verse is what we hear normal. But some of the subsequent verses speak of, we'll say, instances of slavery. There are pieces and parts that talk about, you know, the instances of slavery. And it talks about, you know, maybe referring to a person in a derogatory manner. That is like third verse, maybe fourth verse, I believe. However, I look at the anthem by the first verse, because I know the only reason why it doesn't bother me is because you have never heard those verses sung. Okay. Right. No, America knows better than to fall back onto any of that versage. So I love the first verse, just like any other American who's, you know, deemed patriotic. And it means something to me because I serve my country and because I believe in that American dream still.
You talked earlier about growing up and loving that the anthem. who are some of your favorite singers growing up?
Well, the ones that most people say, most people of color anyway, you have Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, even Dionne Warwick. She has some nuances to her voice that I really love. Luther Vandross. Oh my goodness, Jesus. let's see. Some of the old, trying to think of some of the older ones, but those are some of the contemporary people that I listen to.
Gladys Knight.
Because my parents played that type of music in the house. Etta James. Just all of those old ones, because we always heard them in the, around the house.
Gladys Knight was a good rapper. He was
really see, good. Again, now you're going to get some ignorance from this young man here, because they don't know Gladys Knight. They don't know the old school, the great voices of R&B singer. Elijah, you know, who are those group do you know? Do you know those?
I'm pretty sure Gladys Knight sang the anthem for the All-Star game, no?
Yeah, she did.
She did, yep. Yeah, yeah.
She did.
So I like it. See? Elijah's
with starting us. To get educated.
There you go.
did you get your inspiration from some of those singers, or did that kind of come from your parents and at home?
I think my inspiration came from many different avenues. If you listen to my anthem, kind of break it down a little bit, I have some nuances of Whitney. I have some nuances of Aretha, but they're not in the same places. So if you've ever heard Aretha do the anthem and you listen to Whitney do the anthem, actually, and a little piece from Beyonce too. Remember when she did Houston Super Bowl? Don't remember what year that was, but I want to say it was 2007 or 8. There was the Super Bowl in Houston, and she sang the anthem for that. If you look that up on YouTube, you can definitely find a piece of some of the stuff that is in my anthem. That's why I like to call it the big blob of an anthem that is mine, because I pull from all of them. They're my ancestors, so to speak. They're who I pull from, and it makes it special for me.
That's interesting. You know, players catch a vibe from the fans in the stands, and, you know, it sparks them when they're down a goal or need an extra boost. Is this the same for you, or do you consider your job at being the one that sets the tone for the crowd and for the boys before the game starts?
Absolutely. I have many, many times talked to some of the guys, the American players, and they tell me that it makes them feel like they're ready to go, you know, like it's game time when they hear me sing. And that makes me feel good, you know, because not all hockey players are going to admit that to you. Second of all, it just made me feel special, in that I've been there for 8 years, and for some of them to come up to me and say that, that's awesome.
Yeah. Elijah and I can definitely say that, you know, when we play together, there's this, little, like this young girl in Hamilton who used to do really well with the anthem, and she had an amazing voice, and like the guys gets super fired up. And then sometimes at our home rink, we would have like the children's school come in, and it was kind of sus, but basically I kind of grew up in Florida a little bit, so I actually went to many Tampa Bay Lightning games. I played in the Tampa Junior Lightning. Like, we would train to like skate around with the flag. Like, we were kind of those kids. So may have heard you sing an anthem. I'm not sure, but when did you start singing for the Lightning?
December 7th, 2013. That was my first anthem. It was on Pearl Harbor Day.
Okay, yeah. So I moved in like 2011. So just missed you there. My legal, I guess, home, like for hockey, it says on every you know, hockey website, is Brandon, Florida. So how far do you kind of live from Brandon, Florida?
About 10 minutes, literally. I get in my car and drive, phew, and I'm in Brandon. Not far at all.
For us, a lot of the time, like your first game, you get like a puck or something. Do they do anything for first time doing the anthem, or is it kind of just nothing really?
Well, the very first time I did it, in 2013, I was still active duty, and the thing around gifts and payment for, you know, anthems or any kind of, other than, you know, them saying, yay, she did the anthem, is kind of frowned upon. It's almost like, back in the day, if you look up what a mercenary was, that they kind of, it kind of is like that. You don't want to pay a person to protect you. And that's kind of where that falls into. So they don't do gifts and stuff like that for people who are military, active duty at the time. But once I retired, is a little different. For my thousandth anthem, it wasn't thousand games, it was thousandth anthem, because I did so many when I was in the military too. They gave me a bouquet of flowers and some other niceties, but that was after I had retired from the military.
That's pretty nice. For us as players, after games, we're usually kind of hard on ourselves and we evaluate our performance, we study tape, watch over, work on things in practice. Is that something that you find that you still need to do?
Absolutely. We have something in common. I actually do it before I sing. I listen to old anthems, or like maybe the last three or so. I try to hear my inflections, because it's different for every anthem, whether you hear it or not, because you're in a different mood every anthem, you know. So just like you guys play a different game every time you're on the ice, I sing a different anthem, even though it sounds pretty much the same semantically. I still, because the emotions are different. And I remember singing a couple of anthems where the thing around the game was, the theme around the game was maybe military appreciation, or we were honoring someone on the carpet with me, and, you know, I felt it a little bit more. So it just depends on, you know, what the situation is around you, but I definitely study my anthems. I hate hearing myself sing, but I study it anyway.
Have you ever messed up?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I tried, you know what, I always tell people this, if you're going to do this type of work, do your screw ups at the beginning, you know. So most of the ones where I messed up was before I started singing for the anthem or for the Lightning. However, there has been some situations where the microphone is going out. During the playoffs one year, there were several news media outlets in the building, and they use our power, they plug into our infrastructure, and it was just too much at one point, and the microphone went out while I was singing. Wow. And that was weird. It was only 4 seconds, but that was the longest 4 seconds of my entire life. I just kept singing though. I just held the microphone and continued to sing, and when it came back in, everybody heard it. So it was just great.
True professional. You know, a few years ago, and as you know, and everybody knows, there was the controversy over kneeling during the national anthem. And you are a former U.S. Air Force sergeant. And the people against the kneeling said it was a disrespect towards the troops, while the other side said it was about bringing peaceful awareness around racial injustice in America. As a woman of color, as a former military person, how did you process that whole situation, and how difficult was it for you?
It wasn't difficult. The reason why it wasn't difficult is because I was born a Black woman before I was a military member. And even though I consider myself patriotic, I understood, you know, I have Black sons. And I've been that mom that's been fearful of, you know, my kids not being able to make it home safely. It's a sad thing, but I didn't look at it as a smack in the face at all. From my military side, I looked at it as my fighting for the freedom of my country is also for you to express yourself however you'd like to express yourself. You know, there's people out there that, you know, wear hoods and try to scare people. but there's other people who are trying to fight for true human rights. And to me, that's what I fought for. So everybody around me can, you know, do what they need to do in order to express themselves.
Yeah. You were there when JT raised his fist. Did you, Did you talk to him before, after? Did you ever get any type of communication with him? Because I thought he was very brave for doing that, for one, because, you know, he got death threats after, and it takes a lot to do something like that.
Right. I felt like I was a little bit closer to JT than any of the other guys, just because I think I came together with JT for the first time at your event in Tampa for the viewing and of Soul on Ice. That was a wonderful movie. And so that was the first time I had actually shaken hands with JT, and I tried to stay in touch with he and Lexi even after they moved on. I thought it was brave, because today's Tampa and that day's Tampa, two different places.
Yeah.
Back then, it wasn't as absorbing as it is today. Today, they have to be. They know that there's issues and systemic racism that people have to just get over. So I really did think that he was very brave for doing that. And if I could have talked to him at that particular time, I would have put my arm around him and told him, good job.
Yeah. You know, switching gears, I've always wondered this about, you know, great singers. When did you first realize you could sing? I remember hearing from Sherelle. You remember Sherelle?
Mm-hmm.
She said, in this interview, you know, she was just like in the bathroom messing around one day, and she hit a note. She's like, oh, I could actually do this. And then she took it from there. What was it for you? What was the moment that made you say, I can actually do this?
When I was in active duty, and it was my first anthem publicly, and I felt, I guess, honored that someone thought that I could sing. To bring me on to do the anthem for a small little ceremony. But I'm like, how do they know that I can sing, you know? And then when I did it, I was like, I guess I can sing pretty good. You know, it wasn't like one of those things where I was all full of myself saying, oh, wow, that was great, girl. You know, it wasn't that at all. It's just like, okay, I did that. And then I continued doing it. I don't think I ever really got a really big dose of, girl, you can sing, ever. I just have done it so much in my life. I don't think it ever got to that point ever.
Right. You were talking, Akil asked you if you remember the first day you sung the anthem. How did that first day, because I've heard this in an interview with you before somewhere, how did that day change your life?
Wow. That's a big question. I think it changed my life in that it brought out of me ability. It brought promise. It brought hope. Not only was I seeing myself on the screen, but I was seeing other little girls. Mm. I could see a child looking on and knowing that they could do something like that too. It's not just singular to Sonya Bryson Kirksey, that is something that now other little Black girls and other girls, anybody can look and say, hey, I can do that because she did it. And I'm military too. You know, a lot of times we don't convert our talents. You know, we might do things while we're in the military. We might do things out of the military, but usually it doesn't marry at all. And that was a blessing. I think that I blessed the day that John Franzone, the gentleman who runs production, heard me sing, because I think that he saw some things in me that maybe I didn't see in myself.
Because you're like a household name in Tampa. You know, I see you on Twitter. Like, they got so much love for you out there. I bet you, like, you probably don't even have to pay for food when you go walk around and you're trying to go for lunch. They probably just give you free foods.
I promise you, it's not like, unless I go downtown Tampa, out here in the outskirts where we are, it's not like that. I mean, okay. You'll have people that recognize me, but downtown, it's a little different, you know, because you have more of the heavy hitters that are around there.
Knowing you're a diehard Bolts fan for life, but I'm wondering, when were you introduced to hockey, and what about the game, you know, really resonates to, you know, with you right now?
My introduction was Wayne Gretzky. And it was back in the 80s. And I saw that he was, you know, this big star. I grew up football. My dad, you know, taught my sister and I everything he knew about football. So I'm a football girl. Mm-hmm. But I think either he won a Stanley Cup or he was doing really good. And it happened to be on one of the sports channels back in the day. And my dad was talking to us about hockey, you know, so I was like, you know, what is it? And why do they play on ice? You know, and he was explaining some of the stuff and, you know, that one day that he would bring me to Canada so that maybe I could see it up close and personal, you know. And it wasn't until I went to my first hockey game, which was the Lightning, believe it or not, when I started, when I was stationed at MacDill here in Tampa. And I got to see my first game way prior to me singing there. I fell in love. It was like one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is just like football, except a little bit more. I loved it. It just was the physicality of it, the fast pace of it, just the personalities on the ice. I loved it all. Everything was wonderful.
So the Lightning have been good for, you know, a long time, but they haven't had too much success in the past. Was it hard being so patient to kind of wait for them to win a Stanley Cup?
No, it's like, what's the best way I can describe it? It's like finding a chrysalis and holding on to that chrysalis. You know, in a minute, that thing's going to pop open. It's going to become a butterfly. And that's how I believed in my team, because I could see greatness in them before. I don't know. I can't say before they saw it in themselves, because I think they thought they always were great. It's just that they didn't have the right mix. They didn't have a right something, you know, every single time. But as that mix grew, as time went by, they got to that point where they got what they needed. And I'm so eternally grateful to the organization.
You know,
who's your favorite player?
Good question.
I have two. I have Vasilevskiy is my all-time favorite. I just love goalies. I love the work that they do. It's just so amazing. He's like one of my number one. And then after that, I would say Cooch.
Not even a Stamkos.
All right. It's like Cooch and I have I don't know, a bead for some reason. There's been times right after I sang or as I was singing and he was standing on the front row, you know, I could see him, you know, and he saw me. We make eye contact. And then there's this picture. I'll have to send you this picture, right? So after they won the Stanley Cup, okay, and the big celebration that they had here at Raymond James Stadium, there is this photo where I go up to the stage to congratulate him and shook his hand. But instead of him shaking my hand, he grabs me and hugs me. And he hugs me forever. And I'm going, okay. But he was super drunk, super, super drunk. And I ended up at the end of the hug. I was like, Nikita, let me go. Let me go. And he finally let me go. But he was laughing. He was just really, really super drunk. That's all. But okay, it was really funny. I thought it was hilarious.
What, them drunk hugs. Okay.
Yep.
Players are pretty superstitious. Mm-hmm. If they don't do certain things, then they feel like they're going to have a bad game. Do you have anything like that when it comes to you preparing to sing the national anthem?
I'd say yes, a lot. There's a certain zone that I'm in at the very end, right before I go out on the carpet, where I really don't like talking to people. And I'm not saying that in a way that's, you know, abrasive to people, because I'm in that tunnel, there's people standing there on either side. And there's many, many times when people are like, Sonya, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll wave or whatever, but I'm really in a zone. And until I'm finished with the anthem is when I really kind of come out of that zone. So I try not to talk to anybody in that last minute or so prior to me singing.
You know what's interesting? Because sometimes I'll watch, you know, sometimes we have games and they're live and we'll see you sing and stuff like that. And sometimes when you really hit it out the park, I'm like, oh, snap, Lightning going to have a good game today. And so I'm just wondering if you ever have like a day where you're singing like, I didn't feel that one. Do you feel that with, you know, that's why they lost?
No, because you know what? The fans are They're terrible. They're bad. They're so hard on that team. Yeah. They're like, every time Sony sings, they're supposed to win. They win. And that is not the truth. Okay. I have gone back and looked at stats. They've lost many times when I've sang, but they think that every time I sing that they're supposed to have that energy to win. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're harder on the players than I am.
What's the entire game day experience like for you? Like, does it start in the morning? Is it kind of only a few hours before?
It's for me, it starts in the morning because I am a practicer. People ask me, have you ever forgotten the words? No. You know why? Because I practice all the time. I'm singing the anthem when it's not even good to be singing the anthem in the bathroom, in the bathtub, all kinds of places. But I sing it all the time. So that's one of the things. So when I wake up in the morning, I like to tell everyone, my husband can attest to this, that I have kind of like a Barry White start to my day because my vocals have not warmed up. So my octave is much lower in the morning. So I sound a little bit like this. So I'm getting warm. Warm things, and you know, I'll drink a cup of coffee, but typically I try to stick to water and tea. And then about we get there 2 hours prior to showtime. We try to get there a little bit earlier just so I can get a cup of hot water, and I'll bring my own lemons from home, and I'll have them get me some honey, and I'll throw it in there, and that's usually what I'm drinking, sipping on before I go out to sing.
Dig it. So you're known for the blue hair, the blue lipstick that you didn't rock for us today. So I'm a little upset that you didn't rock with us for us today. But how important is it for you to bring a different style to the game? Because no other anthem singer has that much personality when they go up there like you do.
Well, if you New Jersey, Miss Arlette Roxburgh, she's really, really stylish as well. If you look at her too, so she's kind of changing things on her end too. But I always thought that once I retired from the military, first of all, you got to think about the military. So I started singing for them 13, 14, 15. I was still active duty, and for the military, you cannot have on a lot of makeup. And so you're basically bland. And one of my things is color. I love color. So when I retired, one of the first things I said I was going to do is I was going to get colored fingernails, right?
There you go.
So I did that. And then it just kind of went from there to the hair, to the lipstick. And now it's like an iconic thing. I actually have a mask that one of the fans made for me that has blue lips on the front part of it. It's pretty cool. But it's been important to me to express myself, not necessarily be an icon for Tampa Bay Lightning, but to just express myself in color. I just love it so much.
Sonia, we know how much you love singing at the Lightning games, but out of all the years you've been doing this, what would you say was the coolest place other than the Lightning game where you've sung the national anthem?
Well, active duty, when I was still active duty in 2014, then President Obama came to visit our base, and he came to speak at the base in the base gym, at the gym. And they had me sing the anthem prior to him coming up. So I have that iconic picture of me singing at his podium, which I adore. I didn't get a chance to get a photo with him afterwards, but it still was, to me, the most important anthem that I've ever sung.
Did you get to meet him at least? Did you get to like even give him a high five, a little wink? What, you know?
He did this right here at me, okay, across the, you know, when he was that's coming all. Up. So that was good enough for me.
That's all you need. If Obama can give you a little deuces or a little head nod, like the, you know, the black people head nod, then you know, you're good money right there.
That was it.
So, you know, there's an effort to help grow the game in the black community and the Hispanic community. How are you seeing what's going on, and what part would you like to play? Because, you know, seeing you each night singing is also a great connection to our community, especially considering you're a genuine fan of the game.
Mm-hmm. I like that they are touching kids of all colors, and both genders. That's been so important for me. After meeting Kendall Coyle and some of the other ladies when they came down, when they were training up in Wesley Chapel, which is north of the city, right before the Olympics when they won, after meeting those ladies.
Don't rub it in, 'cause we're Canadian. Don't rub it in.
I'm sorry.
Okay. You just can say they're training. That's all you need to say, Sonia. You got to tell everybody that they won.
Listen,
you
know what I'm saying? They were great. They were amazing. And when I met those ladies, it kind of did something for me, for little girls out there. I want to make sure that they're exposed to it, not just able to play it, but exposed in places where, you know, there's only football or cheerleading usually is a thing that's thrown at girls. And I love that they are building a community of more hockey for kids, more hockey for kids of color, and more hockey for girls. That's the most important for me. And every chance that I get to meet one, because, you know, our skater kid, the kid that skates around prior to the game, a lot of them are little girls. And every chance I get to meet one of them, we always take a picture. We say girl power, because I love how that, I love how that's growing our community of hockey.
So what do you think, in your opinion, does the league need to do to make the game more inclusive? What would you like to see? Is if there's one thing you could say, if you could talk to Gary Bettman and the powers that be, what would you like to see?
Growing in the community. I think it needs to be more mainstream as far as in schools, not just in like a community outreach program, but in schools, like them touching every school in every town. You know, I know that takes a lot, but I mean, you can reach in a lot of different ways. The Boys and Girls Club, you can go into churches. You got to get the parents on board, because some parents, I mean, I know people still that are just, number one is football, period. And for girls is cheerleading. You got to let them know that there's options. You got to let them know that there's another sport out there, or there's other sports out there that they could be good at. Introduce them to skating, you know, and I love that Tampa Bay, during, December, they bring out the little temporary rink downtown. And so people get a chance to skate on it. And then I think that's kind of like one of the starters, but they need to do that in a lot of different places. Tampa is huge. The outlying areas are huge, and they need to bring that kind of stuff to all the different little areas, outlying areas, and rural too.
Gotcha.
You've been doing this for a long time now. You've sung the anthem over 1,000 times at a lot of different events. Is this something you plan on doing for a lot longer?
Good question.
My deep answer would be, I'm going to go where life takes me. But the real answer is, no, I'm not going to be singing for the rest of my life. There are some other things in life that I am trying to do right now to give back to the community. And I want to start working on a lot of those other projects too. It may blend where I can do both at the same time, but eventually I won't sing forever.
Akil, you know, Sonia's got her own podcast.
What's it called?
It's the Sunny Reading Project. So what the Sunny Reading Project is where I read stories online as a podcast, so that, say, for instance, that busy adult, the busy parent, whether it's a babysitter, parent, grandparent, riding around in the car, or they're in the house and the kids are kind of getting on the nerves, hey, you want to listen to a story? Click on this podcast. And you can listen to as many stories as you'd like. And some of them are popular. Some of them are brand new authors that I have touched base with and gotten books from. But what I do is I read the stories on podcasts. Some of them I convert to videos, and I have a channel on YouTube as well by the same name, the Sunny Reading Project. And I just basically want to help kids. Growing up, we had a fantastic support system around us, a village, as it were, that read to us, my sister and I. And we feel like we are as versed as we are today in reading and writing and all those other basic skills because we were read to. And I just want to give that same opportunity to every kid around the world if I possibly can.
Reading is so important. I love it. And before we wrap this up, I know that you are dealing with MS. How are you feeling? How's things going with that?
I'm currently in a study where they are trying out a new type of medication. I already take a medication called Ocrevus by infusion. Mm-hmm. However, they're trying out a new version of that, which is an injection, which basically for an infusion, you're in the chair for about 6 to 8 hours. It just depends on the hospital to get that infusion every 6 months. But for the injection, it'll take a lot less time to get the injection, and you can be on your way and doing your normal daily thing. So other than that, nothing's been really bad about the MS so far, thank God. Mm-hmm. I haven't had as many issues as I know of some people that have, but it's been good so far.
How can people learn about that?
Well, I tell people March is MS Awareness is Autoimmune and MS Awareness Month. And next week is MS Awareness Week, where if you want to learn more about MS, if you want to learn more about what you can do for that community of people who are suffering with MS, you should go to the MS Society. .com or msfoundation.com. Those are the two kind of outreach websites that are doing the most for MS. The MS Society with the research end of it, MS Foundation with the helping side of it.
That's interesting. Okay, well, we'll put that information on our description so everybody can click on and donate, I'm sure, and learn a little bit more. But before we go, we do this thing at the end of every show, we find our guest top five. And I think this one's going to be really interesting because you come from a singing background, obviously. And I'm very interested to hear your top five songs. So you're on your way. You're about to do the anthem. What are the five songs you're going to be listening to?
Let's hear some Kodak.
Etta James, At Last, is like number two, I think, on my little list, but I'll say number one for her. I listened to Whitney Houston, the actual national anthem that she sang here in Tampa Bay when they had the Super Bowl here the last time. Okay. Let's see. What is that song? Oh, Luther Vandross, A House Is Not a Home. I know that sounds crazy, but I love that song because it's so long, first of all, and he does so many vocal acrobatics in that song. It's really good.
Right.
Let's see. I actually like Don't Worry About a Thing because I have this t-shirt. Okay. That has that on there, and anytime I have it on, somebody always points it out, so I end up singing it anyhow. So that's one Motown of the ones
classic.
That I love.
That's a Motown classic. So okay,
I love it.
Who's that by?
Yeah, it's a Motown singer.
I don't know. Don't you worry about a thing. Every little thing.
You're talking Three Little Birds by Bob Marley.
Three Little Birds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about
Marley.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Don't You Worry About a Thing.
No. Not that.
Okay.
But I have a lot of old school stuff. So, and then believe it or not, I'm Every Woman by Chaka Khan. That is like, I love that song.
Okay. That's a heavy top five right there. Sonia, congratulations. You got yourself that ring. You're not on the ice. You're not forechecking. You're not putting pucks behind the net, but you're getting these guys ready, amped up. And your vibe, I can attest to it. I've been in the Tampa building hearing you sing that anthem, and I know how that resonates inside that auditorium. So thank you once again. Keep doing what you're doing, and I can't wait till we all get back into the some sort of normalcy so that we can see you back out there in front of a sold-out crowd doing what you do best.
Yes. I can't wait either.
Thanks, Sonia.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys are awesome.
That was Sonya Bryson Kirksey of the Tampa Bay Lightning, anthem singer extraordinaire, just a really awesome person. So yeah, guys, when you guys were playing together, or regardless, how much does the anthem singer set it off for you?
Well, like, to be honest, like, you kind of get like goosebumps when you like get a good singer. And like, there's a lot of times, like at the OHL level, like sometimes the people singing aren't really the greatest.
It definitely, like, it's definitely a different feeling when there's a really good singer. Like, you feel it. Like Elijah said, you get those goosebumps. And for me, like, I always have a good start when it's a good singer. So that's kind of what I'm missing out on right now, I think. Sick and tired of the just the recording playing in the practice ring. But that's actually one thing I think a lot of people are probably, or a lot of players are probably kind of looking forward to when things resume back to normal, like actually getting that like full barn feeling of, you know, a girl stepping out on the ice or a man and just singing a good anthem. So yeah.
Like sometimes you need like your first shift to get into the game. Like if you have a good singer, it's like you don't need that first shift. You're already in the game. It just kind of wakes you up.
But Kwame, can we get that? Can you sing that song again? You thought it was "Don't Worry About a Thing" or whatever. Can you sing that again?
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't do that again.
I can sing there.
I can hear.
You don't want me to get busy. I come
don't
with
do that
it
ever again.
All right. Well, once again, thank you to Sonya Bryson Kirksey for joining the podcast. Great woman. And if you're ever in the Tampa area, when we get back to normalcy and you get a chance to watch a Tampa Bay Lightning home game, trust me, it's just one of the most amazing things you'll ever hear. And if you get to be at home watching it, turn up the volume. She's a great woman and she's got a great vibe. And yeah, so all the best to Sonya. And we'll do it again next week, my friends. Make sure you subscribe to us, rate and review. My name is Kwame. That's Akil Thomas with the bus up face, and Elijah Roberts. And we out.
And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah, soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, it's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They soul is showing older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, 'cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jaden Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house for the gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor.
my will telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the past from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. Young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.